The sermon and the scripture today is based on John 14:6. I've entitled it, "What Are We Waiting For?" Have you ever been in an area of the country where there was a lot of fruit ripening in the sun? Drawing that picture. Several years ago, my first experience going out to visit our friend Rick Martin in Arizona. That morning, opening the patio door and walking out, it was almost took my breath away. Right in front of me was this big giant orange tree, completely filled with these humongous, beautiful oranges. And to the left was a tangelo tree, and then a tangerine tree, and looking over this direction, a lemon tree. All of these trees filled to the brim with such abundance. And on my way back, I noticed this grapefruit tree with grapefruits as big as softballs and even bigger than that. What a sight to behold. I also had an opportunity to go to Virginia years ago with my daughter. We were going to, in the fall, to these apple orchards up in the mountain. And we're driving there, and I just was amazed at all the cars coming up and down these mountain roads. My daughter says, "Wait till we get there, you'll understand why." And I got there, and it was just like unbelievable, the amount of apple trees in full bloom. There were groves of these apples and these apples and these apples just filled to the brim. A beautiful sight to behold, the abundance. So a fruitful Christian life is like that. Sweet, refreshing, nourishing, and delightful to be near. But such a life requires careful cultivation. Just like those apples, just like those fruit, they didn't just get there. It takes time. It takes effort. And in our Christian life, we need a deeper, more consistent walk with Christ. It requires time and attention every day. If that happens, you will bear fruit. In Colossians 1, 9 to 10, Paul tells us, we, him and the other disciples, have never ceased to pray for you, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. If you take too long in deciding what to do with your Christian life, you'll find out you've already lived it. Today, I want to bring to our attention five huge God statements. The first is that God is the only ruler over the entire world. The entire universe is God's. Mount Everest, God's. Grand Canyon, God's. The apple trees, the grapefruits, the oranges, it all belongs to God. The second big statement, as humans, sinful humans, we struggle with accepting that fact that God is the owner and ruler of our world. There is a canyon separating sinful people from a holy God. We are separated from our Creator, but the third big statement is that God made a way to bridge that gap. And the only way to stand in the presence of a holy God is to have a pure heart and clean hands. The heart represents our entire being. Clean hands represents how we are living. Do we go day to day with love, being fruitful? The fourth big statement is that Jesus was sent to this world to make that heart and those hands available to us. So we can stand in the presence of God, not because of our own goodness, because there's not one righteous, none, not even one of us. The fifth big statement, Jesus took care of all of that on the cross. He died for our sins to be forgiven. And the last words out of Jesus before he passed was, "It is finished." He conquered death, and Jesus wins. And we get to enjoy the blessings of that victory. How do we know that? The scripture tells us, because he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and the King of all glory. No one else but King Jesus can deliver those new hearts and hands to us. Today, the risen King of glory longs for you to lift up your hands, your head, and allow him to direct every thought and action. We can choose to live in the righteousness and the blessings of a holy God who creates, sustains, and owns all things. He loves us with a love we can't even imagine. What are we waiting for? The scripture today, John 14:6, is in red letters. Let me set the picture for you. In the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them and us to trust him. He tells them and us, "There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I will come and get you when it's all ready." Jesus says something in verse 4. "And you know where I am going and how to get there." Verse 5. Thomas. We find out a little bit more about him later on in the scriptures. The one they call the doubting one. He says, "Lord, we do not know. We haven't any idea where you're going, so how can we know the way?" In verse 6, Jesus told Thomas, the disciples, and us, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can get to the Heavenly Father except through me." This is one of the most basic and important messages or passages in all of Scripture. How can we know the way to God? Only through Jesus. Jesus is the way because he is both God and man. And by uniting our lives with his, we are united with God. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we trust Jesus with that childlike faith we talked about last week, all the benefits, all the promises found in this book, the Bible, are ours. What are we waiting for? Jesus says he's the only way to the Father. Some people argue that's too narrow. In reality, it's wide enough for the whole entire world. That's the reality. If it takes action, if the world chooses to accept it. Now, instead of worrying about how narrow it is, we should be thanking Heavenly Father for making a way and providing a sure way to get to him. As the way, Jesus is our path to the Father. As the truth, he is the reality of all the promises throughout that scripture. And as the life, he joins his divine life with ours, both now and eternally we can enjoy. Now, Jesus died on that cross and paid the price. We don't have to wait till we die to enjoy eternal life. We can enjoy that life right now. We can enjoy these promises right now. All we need to do is have that childlike faith, trusting in Jesus. He died on that cross so we can enjoy life now. It's God's purpose that we will grow into full stature and become mature fruit in Christ. Now, it would be against the law of God and the law of nature if we would remain babies and not grow. It would be against the law of God if we would remain spiritual seeds and become spiritually stunted. In 2 Peter 3:18, the Bible says that we are all to grow. This implies steady development, constant enlargement, increasing wisdom, careful nourishing, and cultivation. Just like those grapefruits, just like those apples. Those who make the worst use of their time are the first ones to complain of its shortness. As we continue into this new year, commit to growing spiritually. Devote yourself to becoming spiritually mature fruit. And you will find this year to be one of the most rewarding years yet. It doesn't matter how young, it doesn't matter how old you are. A knowledge of the Bible is essential to a rich, fruitful, and meaningful life. The words of this book have a way of filling in the missing pieces of our life, of bridging the gaps, of turning our tarnished colors, our frustrations of this life, into fruit-like brilliance. Learn to take every problem to the Bible. Within its pages, you will find the correct answers. Most of all, the Bible is a revelation of God's nature. In this book, you will have a careful nourishing and cultivation. You will develop your relationship with Jesus, your relationship with the Holy Spirit, and your relationship with our Heavenly Father. A Christian speaker once asked, "Do you know a book that you are willing to put under the head of and use it for a pillow when you are dying?" We're all going to get there one day. There's no ifs about that one. To put a book under your head for support, for comfort, for peace at that time in your life. The speaker said, "Very well then, that book is the one you want to study when you're living." And there is only one such book in the world. It still ranks as the number one best seller of all times. What are we waiting for? How to enjoy eternal life now? How to have a fruitful life now? Jesus tells us, "I am the way." To be fruitful, to have a fruitful life, you must read my instruction manual, the Bible. Jesus says, I am the truth. To be and have good fruit, it must be nurtured every day. Jesus said, "I am the life." I don't know about you guys, but it seems like Everything's getting crazier and crazier. The only news you see anymore is bad news. Everywhere you look, you see people doing this and doing that, coming up with all this crazy stuff. And in my mind and in my spirit, I want to yell out, get a life. Every conversation is nothing but complaining and grumpy and grouchy. I should learn to say, I know somebody that can bless that mess. And that's Jesus. So if you want to have this life to enjoy now, when Jesus comes knocking on your door, which he does quite often, but he never barges in, he waits for you to open the door. We can lead people. When you got that problem, I got the answer. Do you want to hear it? Jesus can bless the mess. So when he comes knocking and we open up that door to our hearts, let him in. So he can join his divine life to ours, his spirit to our spirit. And when we do that, you will have a great day. When we do that, you will have a fruitful life. And when we do that, you will have a greater eternity. What are we waiting for? Amen.